Our text for this morning is the epistle reading, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 17 through chapter 5, verse 2. I share with you again the first and last verses. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, as many of you know, a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were visiting a friend in Papua New Guinea. And the words in our text about how we should walk and not walk remind me of how many in Papua New Guinea walk, that is, barefoot. Our friend said that she tried this once, but the rocks hurt her feet. That's the problem for those who have been walking around in shoes, but not a problem for those who have been walking barefoot since they were first born, because they have thick calluses on their feet. Calluses, you know, form when our feet or our hands come in contact with a surface, the ground, or tools that we're holding in our hands, but a loose contact that involves slipping or rubbing. Now, you and I may walk just as much with shoes on our feet, but the thing is, we're in solid contact with those. If they're good and tight, we're not flipping or sliding around, so we don't get calluses. Well, our text speaks to us about calluses and connections, not on our feet and hands, but our connections with each other and with God in our walk, that is, our way of life. And they tell us, don't live with a calloused heart. Live instead in caring connection with others. Live as loved children of God. Well, let's think first about what Paul says about not living with a calloused heart. He says, now I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. So here Paul says of the Gentiles that they are callous, not in their feet, but their hearts that are hardened. What is it that they have a rubbing, abrasive connection with that results in this kind of callousing? It's with God. They are alienated, separated, he says, from the life of God. Now, you can't live in this world and breathe without contact with God of some sort. We bump up against him in everything that we do and in all that he continually does for us. But instead of a solid connection with God, these Gentiles have an abrasive connection with God, which constantly rubs them the wrong way. And it's because of their darkened minds, spiritual blindness, which causes them to only feel their way along. This is the way it is with those who are spiritually blind and ignorant of God's ways. They're guided only by their feelings. For them, their idea of what's good and what's right is only what feels good or feels right to them. They say, well, if it feels right, it can't be wrong. But in verse 22, Paul says, we become corrupt through deceitful desires. That is, the desires for things that may feel good, but they're deceiving because they're not good. The problem is that calluses on the heart from this abrasive relationship with God cause people to lose sensitivity to what's really good and right, and so results in abrasive relationships with other people as well. And the more dulled their senses are, the more strong sensations they seek. They give themselves up, Paul says, to sensuality, indulging in whatever strongly stimulates their senses, whether it's eating or drinking or sex or thrill-seeking of one sort or another. One way to picture this is what sometimes happens to those young people, it seems, who react to emotional pain from relationships by becoming so numbed that they feel nothing at all. And they end up, as a result, feeling so disconnected with reality that they cut themselves. Because that pain is the only thing they find that keeps them connected with their body. Verse 19 says, this is what it's like when bad relationships with God and bad relationships with other people lead them to become so callous that they become greedy for every kind of impurity. And so they end up hurting themselves and others. If it wasn't for pain and misery, they wouldn't feel anything at all. Well, worse, the ultimate result of this disconnect with God is separation from God forever and completely in hell, which is nothing but pain and misery forever. But Paul says in verse 20, that's not the way you learn Christ. Instead, we learn to live in caring connection with one another. Verse 21, he says, that is, assuming you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he might have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. In the verses just before this, which were heard in last Sunday's epistle reading, it pictures believers in Jesus as being united in the body of Christ, held together by tight joints, as each part does its work properly, and the whole body builds itself up in love. Our tight connection with Christ leads to a tight connection with others in the church, in contrast to that loose kind of connection that is characterized by callousness and insensitivity. Now, the King James Version, in verse 22, uses the word conversation for what this version translates as manner of life. That word conversation used to refer to your whole way of life. Now we've narrowed it down to mean just the way we talk. But in these verses, Paul uses conversation, that is, the way we talk, as the main example of this new way of life. For example, verse 25, he says, speak the truth with those who are close to you. But, of course, as he says another way, make sure you're always speaking the truth in love. Verse 26 says, you may be angry at evil, as Jesus himself was, but do not sin by letting your feelings run your mouth and end up working out hurtful things that you wish you hadn't. Verse 27 warns, this is ammunition to the devil, to turn around and use against you and against other people. The word for the devil in verse 27 literally means slanderer. That's why they call him the devil, because he's always lying and slandering. But that means this verse could also mean, don't listen to any slanderer. Verse 31 encourages us to put away all slander and bitterness and malice and speak forgiveness instead. Verse 29 says, don't let any corrupting talk come out of your mouths. That word corrupting in the original language could also be translated foul, rotten, disgusting. Reminds me of someone who replied once to somebody, one of these people who didn't know how to talk without every other word out of their mouth being some sort of vulgarity. Or somebody replied to them once, you know, I wouldn't have in my hand what you just had in your mouth. Instead, verse 29 says, speak things that are good for building up, encouraging and improving, things that are fitting and appropriate. Things that give grace, that is, that share love with those who hear. How do we manage to have this kind of relationship with other people? Being caring and kind instead of being callous, as would be natural for us because of the way that we are constantly hurt in our lives. Verse 22 says, it comes from the words of grace that are given to us, from hearing the truth about Jesus. Those words cause faith. And it's through this faith that God gives us all His other blessings, including this new way of living. Verse 24 says, this new self is not something that we just manage to grow into. Instead, it's something that's put on us, like a new pair of shoes. Something that is created by God so that we are renewed in the image in which we were first created, so that we're born again as tender-footed, that is, tender-hearted children. Live as loved children of God. Paul writes, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In the Old Testament reading this morning, we heard of how Elijah was given the ability to walk, as he needed to, all the way to Mount Sinai, by the miraculous bread provided by God. In the Gospel reading, Jesus reminds us that He is that bread that we need to live as God intends us to. So these verses also show us what it is that makes us able to walk as we should in right relationships with others and with God, that is, in a tight connection with the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is because Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us. He was willing to come to be with us, to be stuck together with us, to save our souls, if you'll pardon the pun, by being walked on in our place, taking the dirt and the grinding of sin for us. He offered Himself up as the sacrifice in our place, as a fragrant offering to take care of our stinky ways. So that God is pleased by the fragrance of His offering. I think of how you might be pleased by smelling a steak grilling. Because of Jesus, God's Son, taking our place then, we are given His place as God's children. He himself has put away all wrath and anger and malice at our sins, which continue to rub Him the wrong way. And He instead is kind and tender-hearted toward us. It's the tender treatment of Christ toward us that makes us then put away bitterness toward Him, and also makes us tender and compassionate toward others who sin as we do. This new way of life is worked in us by the Holy Spirit, who is now stuck tight to us to keep us stuck tight to God. That's what Paul pictures when he says we are sealed until the day of our final salvation. Paul says pulling away from the Spirit, to go back to our old simple ways, is like pulling a bandage off of tender skin. It hurts. Even if we don't feel it, the Holy Spirit feels it. It grieves Him. It hurts Him because He loves us when we tear ourselves away from Him. This is what keeps us from becoming calloused and senseless in ways that lead to hurting ourselves and hurting others. It is being tightly connected in this relationship with God. And so Paul encourages us, don't live with a calloused heart that comes from abrasive relationships and results in insensitive and senseless behavior. Live in caring connections with others that is characterized by loving conversation, both in the sense of the things we say and in the sense of our whole way of life. As we live as loved children of God, saved by Jesus who took the grinding of sin in our place, forgiven and cared for constantly by God the Father, and sealed by the Holy Spirit, who sticks with us now and forever. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.